Okay, I'm here today to present some research that I did during my PhD work at NC State. And this first presentation is going to be modeling the effects of macronutrients on fallow soilless root substrate pH. So my PhD work focused on modeling the effects that influence how substrate pH changes over time in production. And in the literature review, you see a lot of these effects that are observed. My PhD primarily focused on two different groups: the physiological and chemical fertilizer effects. The physiological fertilizer effect is basically where whenever you apply fertilizers to plants, the growing media, like for example cations, like ammonium, potassium, etc., when those cations are taken up by the root generally expels a proton to maintain that charge across the root membrane. And so what ends up happening is that you end up having an increase in the concentration of hydrogen ions in the substrate over time and production of the crop. For an anion, we see the reverse. We see that whenever a negatively charged ion like nitrate or phosphate goes into the root system, we see a hydroxide expelled, or we see a proton and that anion go in at the same time. So the net result is that you have a decrease in the concentration of hydrogen ions in the growing substrate, and so therefore you have a decrease in the acidity. With the chemical fertilizer effect, from what we studied, we saw that whenever you actually apply fertilizers to growing substrate, what happens is that you're not only adding, in some cases, hydrogen ions, but you're also adding cations, and whenever they bind to the substrate binding sites, you end up with an increase in the amount of protons that may be occurring in the substrate. So these cations may actually be displacing some of these protons. The reason we were doing this research is because the current model that exists in the industry for evaluating how these fertilizers influence growing media pH dates back to the 1930s, when a gentleman named Pierre came up with a method. And if you look at fertilizer bags, a lot of times they will actually have some type of potential acidity or potential basicity rating on there. However, these are not necessarily hard, fast, quantified numbers. A lot of times they're a lot more like give you a good estimate as to how strong an acidic or basic reaction they'll have in the substrate. So this paper, or this work that I'm talking about today, followed a paper that we published in Word Science in 2014, which I just found out today won the Kenneth Post Award, this one for the graduate student work. But following up from this, what we did is we actually in this paper designed a model where we could actually show how substrates are, the pH in there is influenced by nutrient uptake over time. And so from this paper, we generated a lot of questions. And one of those questions that we asked was, okay, now that we've grown these plants, these salvia plants, developed this model for predicting substrate pH, what effect does the fertilizer itself have, like the chemical fertilizer effects? What effect does this fertilizer have? And so basically what we did in this experiment was we quantified how macronutrients impact fallow substrate pH. Basically, we applied fertilizers to new plants, like pots that had no plants in them. And ultimately, our goal here was to quantify this chemical fertilizer effect that I've already discussed. So when we were setting up the experiment, we had five different levels of these macronutrients: ammonium to nitrate ratio, phosphorus, potassium, three calcium to one magnesium ratio, and then also sulfur. And we varied these at five different concentrations for each one. You can see the table up here. But the problem with this is that if you want to do an experiment this big, this is basically five nutrients at five levels, which means that it's 5 factorial, or we would have had to do 3,125 treatments. And if we did that, I would probably still be in graduate school and not be here talking to you today. But we did do that. We went to the statisticians and talked to them, and they had this really cool design and statistics called a central composite design, where they used this to set up these large-scale factorial experiments. And it's hard for us as humans to comprehend five dimensions at five different levels. And so I have a simplified design up here today. This is three factors at five different levels. And so we have nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. The way this design works is that we have this sort of three-dimensional model set up where you have nitrogen low concentrations coming out at you away from the screen, going to high nitrogen concentrations going back into the wall over here. So low to high for nitrogen. And then for phosphorus, we have the left-hand side of the screen being low concentrations, and then five over here on my side being high. And then for potassium, it goes from the bottom to the top, from low to high. And so what happens is when you set up your treatments using this central composite design concepts, if you go in and you pick a cube here, it helps you set up what your treatments are going to be based on your already assigned values. And so this is really a cool project and procedure to use for scientists because it allows you to cut down the number of treatments that you have. And ultimately, whenever you gather your data, this is what the data looks like. It looks like a giant amorphous blob. But depending upon which way you look at it, whether you're looking at it from the side, from the top, or from the front, it actually helps you to see how things are curving whenever you're changing the different nutrients and affecting substrate pH. So it's a really, really interesting way to see how science and statistics merged up there. With this central composite design, we were able to get the experiment down to 30 treatments, from the potential over 3,000 down to 30. And we had 4 reps in this experiment, pots per treatment. Again, we used fallow pots that had no plants in it, and the student workers were kind of depressed that they were out there fertilizing these empty pots day after day. But again, I just told them, you know, it was worthwhile because we were doing it for science. And we used a 3-peat, 1-perlite substrate, and we had a starting pH of around 5.8. Whenever we came to the fertilizers, we handmade all of our fertilizers based on the central composite design parameters that had told us which concentrations to use, and we applied these fertilizers to fallow pots. We did a no-leach system, which based on that, when we applied fertilizers to the pots, it leached out and then it would be taken up by the pots so that we did not lose any of our fertilizer. We applied 400 milliliters initially, and then every subsequent application was 200 milliliters. We let it dry down a little bit. And then also, at total, we used about 2.6 liters of fertilizer throughout the entire experiment on all the pots. After that, we harvested these at 24 and 42 days after the start of the experiment, and we evaluated the substrate pH using a pH meter. For the statistics, I've already talked about the central composite design. For developing the model, we used Prop Mix and Prop RS-Reg. For R-squares, we used Prop GLM, and then we included terms in our model with a p-value less than 0.05. So here's the results. This is basically the model that we got. What we saw, first of all, is that in our model, when we were looking at the terms, we actually are able to combine and incorporate the concept of time. That's one problem that Pierre's method doesn't have, is that you have one number for the entire time that you're producing crops. With this, you actually have a time factor in the model, so you can actually model substrate pH change over time. When we begin looking at the main terms that we have, like the different macronutrients, the ones that we saw had the biggest impact here were the nitrogen carrier ratio, so either ammonium to nitrate, and then also potassium. And you can see that whenever you compare this 51.9% to 52, basically the nitrogen carrier ratio is making up about 99% of this main term effect here. And we also had a couple of squared terms, but really the nitrogen carrier ratio right there is providing a lot of predictability with this model. So this is what our curve ends up looking like whenever we generate a model to show how substrate pH changed over time in these fallow pots. What you see is that as you increase the amount of ammonium, you see a decrease in substrate pH. Okay? And you can see that, you know, after 45, and then on this axis here is time. So after about after a period of time, what you see is that you have about a 0.5 pH unit change over that curve there. And potassium also had a slight effect, as you see. But one thing to notice is that really it's only about a 0.1 unit pH change that you're really observing. And so again, the ammonium to nitrate ratio is what's really driving this. It's a slight curvature to this model as well, too. So in conclusions from our research, we saw that the effect of ammonium was a lot greater than the impact that potassium was having on it. And we began to ask ourselves, okay, well, what could be the potential causes that's driving this? Like, you know, why in the world are we seeing such a drastic change in pH as we are increasing the amount of ammonium that we're applying to these pots? There's no plants in these pots. Like, there's none of this physiological plant effect that is occurring here. So our first question was, okay, what about the fertilizer pH? Well, the thing is that the fertilizer pH on a whole is about 4.2. And if it was the main driver of changing these different substrate pHs, then you would basically see a flat line across the board for all 30 treatments, that it would have dropped them significantly. Well, what we see is that actually different treatments at different ammonium to nitrate ratios had different effects, and so that kind of scratched that thought out. What about cation exchange? You know, the cation exchange, this chemical fertilizer effect that we were talking about earlier, when you're actually applying the potassium ammonium, could you be displacing some of those hydrogen ions that are bound to the peat moss? And we had a soil chemist who was on my committee, and in talking with him, he said, well, potassium and ammonium have very similar binding capabilities. And so if it was both ammonium and potassium that were driving this down, you would probably see a similar effect between the both of them. Because, again, this cation exchange, they have similar binding capabilities for both ions. And so then we had a soil microbiologist on my committee, and she asked the question, what about nitrification? You know, what role is nitrification potentially playing in this? What we see is that as we increase the amount of ammonium, we see a decrease in substrate pH. And when we go and look at the steps in nitrification process where ammonium is converted into the form nitrate, what we see is that in one of these intermediate phases here, we actually generate protons. And in fact, we generate a lot of protons as well, too. And so our theory is that it's actually nitrification that is driving the substrate pH down and changing it. And so this is an important thing to consider is that, you know, when you're out there applying fertilizers to substrate pH, not only are the plants potentially driving it down, but you may also have some type of nitrification process in that pot where you have microbes competing for those nutrients as well, too. And so that could potentially be something that you need to include in an all-encompassing model for substrate pH change over time. Acknowledgements for student help and help at NCSU and also funding materials. And with that, I'll take any questions you might have at this time. Just mind's blown here. Yeah, Matt, what's up?
So would you think that you know, ammonium nitrate, if that's considered acidic fertilizer, mm-hmm.
So his question is, okay, ammonium nitrate is an acidic fertilizer. Do you think that's due to plant uptake, nitrification, whatever? I think what's happening is that you have ammonium nitrate in there, but in some cases you may have like preferential for the ammonium, and so therefore you're taking it more. Another thing too is that, and we'll see this in just a second, we had a starting pH of like 5.8 for our salvia and chrysanthemum experiments. And what you see is that the plants and microbes can only drive substrate pH upwards to like 6.2 or 6.3 in our experiment. But they can drive it down to like 4.5, as we'll see in just a second. So I think you're just getting more of a pronounced effect there with maybe the plant and also nitrification interacting together for both of those. It's a good question. Other questions? Just too much fun with PHUN. Sorry, that's fun. Okay. All right, well, we'll get started with the next presentation then.